Book 9 Meanwhile, moved by their unseen spirits, led by the immortal phalanxes, who of our hopes and our fears are the reins and the drivers, minds they use as if steam, and our bodies like power-driven engines, leading our lives towards the goal that the gods have prepared for our striving. Men upon earth fulfilled their harsh, ephemeral labor. But in the Truad, the armies clashed on the plain of the Xanthus. Swift from their ships the Argives marched. More swiftly, through Xanthus, driving their chariots, the Trojans came, and Penthesilea led, and Anchises' son, and Deiphobus, the Priamid hero. Now, ere the armies met, ere their spears were nearer, Apollo sent a thought for his bale to the heart of Zethus the Hellene. He to Achilles' car drew close and cried to the hero, "Didst thou not promise a boon to me, son of Peleus and Thetis, then when I guarded thy life breath in Memnon's battle from Hades? Therefore I claim the proudest of boons, one worthy a Hellene. Here in the front I will fight against dangerous Penthesilea. Thou on our left make war with the beauty and cunning of Paris." But from his heart dismayed Achilles made answer to Zethus, "What hast thou said, O Zethus, betrayed by some power that is hostile? Art thou then lured by the gods for the bale and the slaughter of Hellas?" Zethus answered him, "Alone art thou, mighty Achilles in Phthia. Tyrant art thou of this fight, and keep'st for thee all of its glory. We are but wheels of thy chariot, reins of thy courser, Achilles. What though dire be thy lust, yet here thou canst gather not glory, only thy shame and the Greeks, if a girl must be matched with Achilles." Zethus, evil thy word, and from death are the ways of its folly. Even a god might hesitate, fronting the formidable virgin. Many the shafts that, born in her chariot, thirst for the blood draught, pages ride in her car behind and hand to her swiftly death in the rapid spears, and she hurls them and drives, and she stays not. 40 wind-footed men of the mountains race with her chariot, shielded and armed, and bring back the spears from their hearts, whom she slaughters. So like the lightning she moves incessantly, flashing and slaying, not like men's warring her fight, who battle for glory and plunder. Never she pauses to pluck back her point, nor to strip off the armor. Only to slay she cares, and only the legions to shatter. Come thou not near to her wheels, preserve thy life for thy father. Pity Erythoa's heart, who shall wait in vain for her children." Wroth at Pelides' scorn, made answer Zethus the Hellene, "Give me my boon I have chosen, and thou fight far from my battle, lest it be said that Achilles was near, and therefore she perished. Cypnus and I will strike down the terror of Argos." Moved, the mighty Achilles answered him, "Zethus and Cygnus, granted your will. I am bound by my truth, as you now by Hades." So he spoke, and cried to his steeds, who the ways of the south wind racing outvied to the left, where from Xanthus, galloping swiftly, came in a mass the Ilian chariots loud towards the Hellenes. Phocis was with him, and Echimus drove, Andras and Thriteon. They were like rays of the sun, but nighest him, close to his shadow, Ascanus, Phrynix's son, who fought ever near to his war car. And from the Trojan battle, gleaming in arms like the sun god, Paris beheld that dangerous spear, and he cried to the heroes, "See now where death on the Trojan comes in the speed of that war car. Warriors, fight not Achilles, but where you see him guiding his spear or turning his courses, menace his days and shield the Trojan life that he threatens. Fighting together, hide with your spear rein his head from the heavens. Zeus perhaps shall, blinded, forget to cover the hero." So as he spoke, the armies neared and they clashed in the melee. Who first shed the blood, thick with the fall of the mighty, last of the battles of Troy? Helenus first, King Priam's son, smote down in that battle Phocis, Amorous' son, who fought in the front of Pelides. He, by the point twixt his brows surprised, left the spear he had lifted. Down he clanged from his car, with his armour sounding upon him. Echimus, wroth, let drive at Helenus, grieved for his comrade. Him he missed, but Ahytis slew, who was Helenus' henchman. Helenus, wroth in his turn at Echimus, aimed, and his spear point bit through the shield and quivering paused, by Ananke arrested. Back, avoiding death, the Hellene shrank from the forefront. Nor had Achilles mingled yet his strength with the fighters. Nor could the Trojan fighters break through the wall of their foemen. Nor could the mighty Pelides slay in his war rage the Trojans. Ever he fought, surrounded, or drew back compelled to his legions. For to each spear of his strength, full 20 hissed round his helmet, cried on his shield, attempted his cuirass, or leaped at his coursers, or at Automedon ran like living things in their bloodthirst. Galled the deathless steeds, high neighing poured in their anger. Wrathful Achilles wheeled and threatened, seeking a victim. So might a fire on the high-piled altar of sacrifice blazing seek for its tongues an offering fit for the gods. But 'tis answered only by spitting rain that a dense cloud sends out of heaven. Sibilant hiss the drops on the glowing wood and the altar. Chill a darkness o'erhangs, and its brief and envious spirits rail at the glorious flame, desiring an end of its brilliance. Meanwhile, behind, by the ranks of the fighters sheltered from Hades, Paris loosed his lethal shafts at the head of the Hellene. Then upon Helenus, wrath from the gods who are noble, descended, seized on the tongue of the prophet, and spoke out their thoughts in his accents. Thoughts by men rejected, who follow the beast in their reason. Only advantage seek, and honour and pride are forgotten. Paris, not thus shalt thou slay Achilles, but only thy glory. Hast thou no heed that the women should mock in the streets of our city, thee and thy bow and thy numbers, hearing this shame of the Trojans? Dost thou not fear the gods and their harms? Not so do they combat who have the awe of their deeds and follow the way of the mighty. Paris the Priamid answered his brother, Helenus, wherefore care should I have for fame or the gods and their punishments, heeding breath of men when they praise or condemn me? Victory I ask for. Joy for my living heart, not a dream and a breath for my ashes. Work I desire, and the wish of my heart, and the fruit of my labour. Nay, let my fame be crushed into mire for the ages to spit at, but let my country live, and her foes be slain on her beaches. So he spoke, and fitted another shaft to the bowstring. Always they fought, and were locked in a fierce, unyielding combat. But on the Hellene right stood the brothers, stark in their courage, waiting the Eoan horse hooves that checked at the difficult crossing, late arrived through field and through pasture. Zethus, exultant, watched their advance turn and encouraged the legions behind him. Now is the hour of your highest fame, O ye sons of the Hellenes. These are the iron squadrons. These are the world-famed fighters. Here is a swifter than Memnon. Here is a greater than Hector. Who would fight with the war-weary Trojans, the Lycian remnants, when there are men in the world like these? O Phaeans, we conquer Asia's best today. And you, O my brothers, with courage reap all the good I have won for our lives this morn from Achilles. Glad let our fame go before us, to our mother Erythoa waiting, lonely in fear, desiring death or the eyes of her children. Soon will our sails pursue their herald fame, with our glory bellying out and the winds. They shall bear o'er the murmurs of ocean, heaped up Ilion's wealth and the golden bricks of King Priam, and for the halls of our fathers, a famous and noble adornment, bear the beautiful head of the virgin Penthesilea. So he cried, and the Hellenes shouted, a savage rumour, proud of their victories past, and incredulous groan of disaster. Now from the Xanthus, dripping-wheeled, came the Eoan war-cars, rolling, thunder-voiced with the tramp of the runners behind them, dust like a flag, and dire with the battle-cry, full on the Hellenes. They to the mid-plain arrived, where the might of the Hellene brothers waited their onset. Zethus first, with his cry of the cascade, hurrying-footed, headlong, that leaps far down to the valley. Curb, but curb thy advance, O Amazon Penthesilea. These are not Knossos ranks, and these are not levies from Sparta. Hellas spears await thee here, and the Myrmidon fighters. But like the north wind, high and clear, answered Penthesilea, who art thou? Biddest to pause the horse hooves of Penthesilea, Hellene, thou in thy strength who standest forth from thy shielders? Turn yet, save thy life, for I deem that thou art not Achilles. Zethus the Hellene I am, and Cycnus and Pindus my brothers, stand at my either side, and thou passest no farther, Bellona. Lioness, turn thou back, for thou canst not here be a hunter. Zethus and Cygnus and Pindus, little you loved then your mother. Who in this field that is wide must needs all three perish together, piled on one altar of death by the spear shafts of Penthesilea? Empty forever your halls shall be, childless the age of your father. High she rose to the spear cast, poised like a thunderbolt lifted, forward swung to the blow, and loosed it, hissing and ruthless, straight at the Hellene shield, and it tore through the bronze, and groaning butted and pushed through the cuirass, and split the breast of the hero. Round in his car he spun, then putting his hands out before him, even as a diver who leaps from the shed of the bath to the current, launched out, so, headlong, struggled, sideward collapsed, then was quiet. Dead on Trojan earth. But dismay and grief on his brothers yet alive now seized. Then rage came, blinding the eyeballs. Blindly they hurled, yet attained, for Athene guided the spear shafts. Death, like a forest beast, yet played with the might of the virgin. One on her shield and one on her cuirass rang, but rejected fell back like reeds that are thrown at a boulder by boys on the seashore. She, unmoved, replied. Her shafts, in their angry succession, hardly endured delay between. Like trees the brothers felled, to each side sank prone. So, lifeless, these strong ones of Hellas lay on their couch of the hostile soil, reunited in slumber, as in their childhood they lay in Hellas, watched by their mother, three of them side by side, and she dreamed for her darlings their future. But on the ranks of the Hellenes, fear and amazement descended, messengers they from Zeus to discourage the pride and the bloodlust. Back many yards, their foremost recoiled in a god-given terror, as from a snake a traveller scorned for a bow by the wayside, but it arises puffing its hood and hisses its hatred. Forward the henchmen ran and plucked back the spears from the corpses. Onward the Aeoan thousands rolled o'er the ground that was conquered, trampling the fallen men into earth with the wheels of their war cars. But in her speed, like the sea or the storm wind, Penthesilea drove towards the ranks of the foe, and her spear shafts hastened before her, messengers whistling shrilly to death. He came like a wolfhound called by his master's voice, and silently fell on the quarry. Hyrtimus fell, Admetus was wounded, Charmidas slaughtered. Cyrus died, though he faced not the blow, while he hastened to shelter. Itylus, bright and beautiful, went down to night and to Hades. Back, ever back, the Hellenes recoiled from the shock of the virgin, slain by her prowess fierce, alarmed by the might of her helpers. For at her right, Surabdus threatened, and iron Surenus. And at her left, hill-shouldered Pharetus slaughtered the Hellenes. Then in the ranks of the Greeks, a shouting arose, and the leaders cried to their hosts, and recalled their unstained fame and their valour, never so lightly conquered before in the trial of Ares. And of Achilles they spoke, and King Peleus, waiting in fear, listening for Troy o'erthrown, not his hosts, overcome by a woman. And from the right and the left came heroes, mighty to succour. Chiefs of the Dolopis, Ar and Eglaron, came mid the foremost, Hyllus, fair as a drifting moon, but fierce as the winter. Priam came, the Thessalian, and Cebes, whom Pharsalus honoured, victors in countless fights, who had stood against Memnon and Hector. But though their hands were mighty, though fierce their obdurate natures, mightier strengths they met, and a sterner brood of the war god. Light from the hand of the virgin, the spear ran laughing at Cebes, crashed through his helmet, and left him supine on the pastures of Troia. Ah, to Surabdus fell, and the blood-spurting head of Eglaron dropped like a fruit from a branch by its weight to the discus of Sambus. Iron Surenus' mace-head shattered the beauty of Hyllus. Priam, by Pharetus slain, lay still and had rest from the war-cry. Back, ever back, reeled the Hellene host, with the virgin pursuing. Storm-shod the Amazon fought, and she slew like a god unresisted. None now dared to confront her burning eyes. The boldest shuddered back from her spear, and the cry of her tore at their heartstrings. Fear, the daughter of Zeus, had gripped at the hearts of the Hellenes. So, as their heroes yielded before her, Penthesilea, lifted with victory, cried to her henchman, Eurus of Elea, who had the foot of the wind and its breath that scants not for running. Hasten, hasten, Eurus, race to the right, where unwarring Valorous leads his host. Bid him close with the strength of the Hellenes. Soon will they scatter like chaff on the threshing floor, blown to the beaches. But when he sees their flight, by Sumalus shepherded seaward, swift let him turn like the wind in its paths, and follow me. Pouring all in a victor flood on the Myrmidon left and Achilles. Then shall no Hellene again dare embark in ships for the Troad. Cursed shall its beaches be to their sons and their sons and forever. So she spoke, and Eurus ran by the chariots protected. Then had all Hellas perished indeed on the beaches of Troas. But from the Argives' right, where she battled, Pallas Athene saw and was wroth, and she missioned her thought to Automedon speeding. Splendid it came and found him out, mid the hiss of the spear shafts, guiding endangered Achilles' steeds in the thick of the battle. Shaped like a woman clad in armour, and fleeing from battle, helmed with the Hellene crest, it knocked at the gates of his spirit, shaking his hero's heart with the vision that came to his eyeballs. Silent he stared aghast, and turned his ear to the warden. Dost thou not hear to our right, Achilles, these voices of Eris? High is the sound of Aeon battle. A woman's war cry rings in my ears, but faint and sparse come the shouts of our nation. Far behind is their call, and nearer the ships and the beaches. Great Pelides heard, and groaned in the caves of his spirit. It is the doom that I feared, and the fatal madness of Zethus. Slain are the men of my nation, or routed by Penthesilea. Drive, Automedon, drive, lest shame and defeat upon Hellas fasten their seal, and her heroes flee from the strength of a woman. And to the steeds divine, Automedon called, and they hearkened, rose as if seeking their old accustomed paths in the heavens. Then through the ranks that parted, they galloped as gallops the dust cloud when the cyclone is abroad and the high trees snap by the wayside. And from the press of the Hellenes into the plain of the Xanthus, thundering, neighing came with the war car, borne like a dead leaf chased by the blast. Then Athene opened the eyes of Achilles, eyes that in all of us sleep, yet can see the near and the distant. Eyes that the gods in their pity have sealed from the giant confusion, sealed from the bale and the grief. He saw, like one high on a summit, near him the Aeons holding the plain, and out in the distance breaking the Hellene strengths. Like a dream in the night he regarded high-crested Sumalus fight, Somerenus swift in the onset, bull-shouldered Torrens blows, and the hero Artavaraxus. But in the centre fiercest, the cry and the death and the fleeing, there were his chieftains, ever-reforming, vainly resistance. Even in defeat, these were Hellenes, and fit to be hosts of Achilles. But like a doom on them thundered the war-car of Penthesilea. Pharetus smote, and Surabdus, and Sambus, and iron Serenus. Down the leaders fell, and the armies reeled towards the ocean. Wroth he cried to his coursers, and fiercely they heard, and they hastened. Swift like a wind o'er the grasses, galloped the cart of Achilles. Echimus followed, Ascanus drove, and Drus and Thritaon. Phocis alone in the dust of the Troad lay there and moved not. Yet brought not all of them help to their brothers oppressed in the combat. Four from the forefront, forth on the knot of the swift-speeding war-cars, high an Aeoan chariot came, drawn fast by its coursers, bearing a mighty chieftain, Valerus, son of Suparus. Fire-footed, thundered past him the hooves of the heavenly coursers. Nor to his challenging shout, nor his spear, the warlike Pelides answered at all, but made haste like a flood to the throng and the melee. But twixt the chariots behind and their leader, the mighty Aeoan drove his dark-maned steeds and stood like a cliff to their onset. Great is your haste, O ye kings of the Greeks. Abide yet, and converse. Scatheless your leader has fled from me, borne by the hooves of his coursers. Ye abide, for we meet from far lands on this soil of the Trojans. All of us meet from afar, but not all shall return to their hearthsides. Valerus stays you, O Greeks, and this is the point of his greeting. So, as he spoke, he launched out his spear as a cloud hurls its storm flash, nor from that fatal hand parted vainly the pitiless envoy, but of its bloodthirst had right. Riven through and through, with the death stroke, Drus fell prone and tore with dying fingers the grasses. Sobbing, his soul fled out to the night and the chill and the silence. They, like leaves that are suddenly stayed by the fall of a wind gust, ceased from their headlong speed. And he came a-spoising his spear shaft. Sharp are thy greetings, chieftain Aeoan. Message for message, Ichimus, son of Aetes, one of the mighty in Hellas, thus returns. Let Ares judge twixt the Greek and the Eastern. Fast sped the spear, but Valerus held forth his shield and rebutted, shouting the deadly point that could pierce not his iron refusal. Ichimus, surely thy vaunt has reached me, but unfelt is thy spear point. Weak are men's arms, it seems, in Hellas. A boy there, Ares, aims with reeds, not spears at pastoral cheeses, not iron. Judge now my strength. Two spears from him ran at the hearts of his foemen. Crouching Phrytaeon heard the keen death over him whistle. Ascanus, hurt in the shoulder, cried out and paused from his warlust. Ichimus hurled now again, and hurled with him stalwart Phrytaeon. Strong Phrytaeon missed, but Ichimus point at the helmet, bit and fastened, as fastens a hound on the ear of the wild boar, wroth with the cry and the hurt that gores the pack and his hunters. Valerus, frowning, tugged at the heavy steel. Yet his right hand smote at Ichimus. Him he missed, but valiant Phrytaeon sat back dead in his seat. And the chariot, wild with its coursers, snorting and galloping, bore his corpse o'er the plains to the Hellenes. But while yet Valerus strove with the shaft, obscured and encumbered, Ascanus sprang down swift from his car, and armed with his sword point, clove the Aeoan's neck, as the lightning springs at an oak trunk, seized in the stride of the storm, and severs that might with its sharpness. Slain the hero fell. His mighty limbs the spirit mightier released to the gods, and it rose to the heavens of the noble. Ascanus gathered the spear shafts. Loud was his shout, as exulting back he leaped to the car triumphant, or death and its menace. Lie there, Valerus, king of the East, with imperial Troia. 6 rich feet of her soil she gives thee for couch of the nuptials. Rest then, talk not again on the way with the heroes of Hellas. So delivered, they hastened, glad to the ranks of their brothers. After them rolled the Aeoan war-cars, Arithon leading, loud with the clamour of hooves and the far-rolling gust of the war-cry. Wroth at their chieftain's fall, they moved to the help of their nation. Now, by the unearthly horses neared, and the might of Achilles. Then, from the Hellenes who heard the noise and the cry of their coming, lifted eyes dismayed, but saw the familiar walker, saw the heaven-born steeds, and the helm unconquered in battle, sound was of other hopefulness. Loud as the outbursting thunder rises o'er lower sounds of the storm, o'er the din of the battle rose the Hellene shout, and rose the name of Achilles.